baby dedication, and we're glad that you're here to celebrate that with us. Brother Ronnie apologizes for not being able to be here. He is still under the weather and held out as long as he could, trying to make that decision to be here, but by this afternoon he knew he was not going to be able to make it. So we are very grateful that you're here tonight. We do want to celebrate the children that have been born and have come into our families. And so I'm going to speak briefly, and then we'll get on with the rest of the show, so to speak. So let me open us up in a word of prayer and we'll begin. Father, tonight we are just very grateful for the gifts of children. We thank you for what they bring to our lives, that they are gifts from you. And Father, tonight as we look at your word and the instructions that your word shares for parents, Father, we pray that our hearts would just really knit together, that we would understand the importance of raising our children in a biblical way. And Father, that we would treasure these little ones and see them just as you do. So Father, we pray that tonight you would get all the glory. We are so grateful for life and for the lives of these new babies. And Father, we are so honored that you trust us with them. And we ask it all tonight to be pleasing to Jesus. Amen. If you got your Bibles with you tonight, I just want to share briefly from Psalm 78. And tonight, as we come together to do a baby dedication, a lot of people ask, what do we mean by that? And so let me just give you really quickly, as we begin, three reasons why we do this. One is that this is a time for us to come together in a purposeful way to celebrate children. We view them biblically as a gift from the Lord, that they are their worth is found in Christ. And so we are very grateful. And so we come and we celebrate how God has provided through children. Secondly, we come tonight to encourage and to charge the parents that are with us, that we share with them the responsibility they have as Christian parents to raise their children in godly homes and in godly ways according to the Word of God. And finally, we do this tonight to remind us as a church body and to encourage us that we all play a responsibility in this, that all the children that come into our church and into this body are part of our care, and that we are to help parents and to train and equip children so that they walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. So tonight what I want to share with you out of Psalm 78, just real briefly, just five things or five principles that as parents, as we encourage you all tonight to teach and to share with your children. Psalm 78 is a psalm written by Asaph. It's a didactic song, meaning that it's teaching. And what it does is, through it's a very long psalm, and throughout the course of these verses, it explains Israel's history in a theological context, teaching theological lessons through God's relationship and His dealing with His own people. And tonight we'll look at the first eight verses, kind of the preamble, if you will, to this long chapter. So I'm going to read that and you can follow along, and then I'll share five things that we're to teach our children. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. And we will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation, the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might, and the wonders that He has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children, so that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Parents, this evening, as we come together, I'd just like to share with you five truths or five promises here that we can share and that we should take responsibility to share with our children. Number one, we're to share with them the foundation of God. Look in verse 4. He said, "We will not hide these from our children, but tell them to the coming generation of the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might, the wonders He has done." One of the things that ought to be happening in Christian homes and Christian families is that we are teaching and sharing and giving a testimony to the glory and the greatness of the Lord. That the glory of God is put on display in our homes, and His great works, both throughout history and in our lives, are talked about and celebrated often. Number two, we should also share with them God's standard. Look at verse 5. He said, "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded the fathers to teach to their children." God's standard is His holy word. The Bible ought to be taught and proclaimed in every Christian household. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 tells Israel to hear these words and to teach them diligently to their children. The Word of God ought to be the central part of what is taught in a Christian home. His Word is the standard by which we make all decisions, and that needs to be modeled beginning at a young age in the home. We are commanded to do this in the New Testament, Ephesians 6:4, that we are to bring our children up in the admonition and the teaching of the Lord. We are to teach them through discipline, and we are to teach them through the Word of God. So we are to lay a foundation of the glory of God. We are to do that through the standard that He provided in the Word of God. But thirdly, we're to teach them what God's goal is for their life. Look at verse 6. That the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. We see this, that God's goal in this is that His Word and His truth and His glory would be proclaimed from generation to generation. That one generation shall praise Thy works to another. Do we set that standard before our families? That one of the goals that we have in a Christian home is not just that our children are godly, and not just that our children are staying out of trouble, and not just our children are doing what they need to, but they have a responsibility according to the Scripture to share that with their children. The legacy that you provide your children through teaching the Word of God should have impact for generations to come. That is a lofty and high calling according to the Word of God. Number four, we see God's purposes. Look at verse 7. So we see Him laying aside that we tell our children, and it all starts with the greatness and glory of God. We see Him telling us that we're to do this with a standard of the Word of God, and that we're to let them see that it's bigger than just them, that there's a goal, that the truth should be proclaimed through all generations. But then we see number four, that God's purposes are so that these children would learn to set their hope in God. We could also understand there the word hope meaning confidence or trust. That we're teaching our children by the way we live, by the way we approach the Scriptures, by how we live our faith, that the only thing in life that they're to put their confidence and trust in is the Lord. Not only are they to set their confidence, to trust in Him for their hope and their salvation, but they wouldn't forget the works of the Lord. That what God has done in their life and in the life of the home would be thought of and talked about often. As He gave the writer of Deuteronomy to say, talk of these things when you lie down and when you rise up and when you walk by the way. All the time we should be teaching these great things and the works of what the Lord has done. So our homes should be marked by understanding God's purpose, is that teaching the Word and following these instructions of laying a foundation of the greatness and glory of God coming from the Word of God should lead our children to put their faith and their hope in God, to not forget His works, and then thirdly, we see, and that they would be obedient to His commandments. I think if we looked at that profile right there, starting off with young children, that is exactly the profile that we would love to say 50 years from now was true in our homes. That they understood and had a grasp to the best of their ability of the greatness and the glory of God. That they lived according to His holy standard, which is the Word. That they understood that they had an eternal, significant response, and that was to train the next generation. And then that they would live their lives according to His purposes. To not forget the work of the Lord, to be obedient, and to live life totally trusting in Him as their hope. But God didn't leave us with just the positive instructions in this. Finally, and the fifth thing I want to show you out of this passage is that we see God's warning. Look at verse 8. And He says, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. As we've seen in these first 7 verses, a very positive way and goals that we should have as we raise our children, verse 8 gives us a very stern warning of characteristics that will cause them to fail in life and to fail in eternity. If they are stubborn and rebellious, if their heart is not enduring or steadfast to these principles, and if their spirit is not faithful to God, that will lead to turmoil and trouble. So before we go to our time where we're dedicating and introducing these babies, let me just say a couple words of encouragement to you. These are great application points for all families, young children, old children, whatever the case may be. Are we living according to God's foundation? Is the glory of God on display in our homes? Is the Word of God central being taught and being modeled by mom and dad? Is the God's goal of ministry and reproducing and teaching God's truth to the next generation and laying that as a vision before them something that we talk about? And finally, do we let them know that God's purposes are eternal and much bigger than just them? That God has heavenly, eternal purposes so that their trust and confidence would always be in Him. Tonight, we're so grateful that you're here. We're grateful for all these children. And this is our prayer for all the children of our church, for all the children of Trinity, that they would live lives that reflect the truths of this psalm. Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful just that you trust us with little ones and that you call us to be managers and stewards of these gifts that you've given us. And so, Father, we offer them up to you, knowing that they don't belong to us, that they're yours. And, Father, we pray, and I pray for myself and my own family, and then for all the babies and parents here, Father, we pray for faithfulness. And, Father, the things that your Word has just outlined, we pray would be true in the homes of our church. That these homes would be dedicated to living for the glory of God, and living according to your Word, and having a vision that is God-sized, and living for the purpose of living a life totally trusting in the hope that you have given us. We know none of this happens on our own, so Father, we pray tonight in the power of your Spirit, asking you to accomplish this in our lives and in our families. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we're going to begin tonight to introduce these families to you. Emily Lynn Becker. Emily is the 2-month-old daughter of Aaron and Christy Becker, and they are going to come and share a little bit with you.
This won't be long. Emily was born 11 days overdue, so she had quite a few people waiting anxiously for her arrival, but she's been well worth the wait. She's been an incredible blessing in our lives, and we're really looking forward to seeing God's plans for her unfold throughout the years, and we're just grateful for this church family in which to raise her. So thanks.
We have a certificate and a Bible for you guys. Caleb Maxwell Burba. Caleb is the 6-month-old son of Chris and Elizabeth Burba, and they're going to share about Caleb.
Well, this is Caleb. We named Caleb Maxwell for a couple of reasons. First, Caleb, we want him to have a strong namesake. Caleb means bold and faithful, and we want him to live up to that character of Scripture, that he would have that that same attitude in life, that he would be bold and faithful to follow God wherever he places him in his life. We chose the name Maxwell for a couple of reasons. First, Maxwell means great streams, and so we want him to be the picture that he is full of the abundant waters of Christ, living water. And also, Maxwell is the name of my favorite scientist, James Clerk Maxwell. He was a revolutionary in science. He was a Christian man, very devout, and we were hoping that he would have the same attitude in his life, that he would always put Christ first. And we picked a verse out that that characterizes our attitude for him, what we want in his life. It's Numbers 14:24. It says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it." And we do pray for that in his life, that he would follow God fully in everything that he does. Thank you.
Isabella Shiloh Corcoran. Isabella is the 9-month-old daughter of Curtis and Beth, and they are going to share a little bit.
Well, this is Isabella. We adopted her last year, so we're just thankful for God that he allowed Isabella to come live in our home and to be a part of our family. We named her Isabella because we just really like the name. It means dedicated to God. Her middle name, Shiloh, it means peace, and specifically the peace that comes from God. And we named her Shiloh because her birth family live a very chaotic and a very destructive lifestyle. And so Shiloh is a reminder to us that God has given us a real challenge to raise her in a godly home and a home that teaches her the peace of Christ. And so it's also a reminder to her that she needs to pray for her birth family's salvation.
Praise God. you. Elizabeth Hope Goodspeed. Elizabeth is the daughter of Stephen and Carrie Goodspeed. She is 10 months old, and Stephen is going to share with us.
Okay, we we're really looking forward to coming up here and seeing everyone. Elizabeth's name means consecrated to God, and our prayer is that she would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Her story is when she was around 12 weeks gestational age, my wife got ended up basically in front of the surgeon in the ER, and he told us that we had evidently miscarried. And I remember getting that phone call because I was in Norman. I was working in Oklahoma City at the time, but was able to rush over there and see that and be there. 6 days later, we went into the for a post-miscarriage, basically, procedure, and I wasn't able to be there, but apparently the obstetrician started to cry, and she was still with us. And so that's sort of what God has done in our life. But through that, we had 6 months of near bed rest that we were, you know, it's one thing to be put on that. It's another thing to kind of go through that for 6 months. And we had so many people that were faithful here in our church to, you know, for many meals and prayer and a friendly voice on the other end when my wife was probably about to lose her mind from not getting out of the house enough and that kind of thing. So I was looking forward to being here just to say thank you to everyone for your support during that time. And I did also want to single out my mother-in-law. I'm going to ask her to stand for just a second. Karen, just stand for a second. You can sit down now. That's okay. Thank you. For 6 months of breakfast and lunch and numerous loads of laundry and dishes and gymnastics appointments, all those things that were unable to be done, she was there. And so we want to say thank you, and we appreciate you very much.
Harper Isaac Harris. Harper is the 7-month-old son of Brent and Brittany, and they are going to share with us.
Alrighty, this is Harper, and he's the brother to Dawson, Hudson, and Hannah Lane. And quite frankly, we just kind of ran out of names, so. How we found Harper was, his name is, Brittany was watching a praise video at home, and actually in the, I guess it was at the script at the end where it names all the people in the video, there was a Hudson, there was a Dawson, and there was a Hannah, right? There was a Hannah, and then there was a Harper. So that's how we found Harper's name. So, but Isaac means laughs. Means he laughs, and we hope he will bring lots of laughter and joy to our family. Our prayer is for Harper and his brothers and sisters is found in Numbers 6, 24 through 26. And Brittany reads this to him each evening before bed. The Lord bless you and keep you, Harper. The Lord make his face shine upon you, Harper, and may be gracious to you, Harper. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, Harper, and give you peace, Harper. And the Lord had Harper in mind and planned him even when we did not expect him. Psalms 139:15 says, "You know me inside and out and how I was sculpted from nothing to something." We are so thankful for our little blessing, Harper.
All right. Hadley Elizabeth Hunter. Hadley is 9 months old, and she is the daughter of Patrick and Brittany. Hadley's middle name is special because it is Brittany's aunt and grandmother's name. Some verses that Patrick and Brittany are praying for Hadley, Psalm 32, verse 7, that the Lord would be her hiding place, protect her from trouble, and surround her with songs of deliverance. And Psalm 17:8, which says, "Keep her as the apple of your eye and hide her in the shadow of your wings." Hadley has been such a blessing to the Hunters. She fits into their family so perfectly and is a joy to have around. Her little personality brings excitement and fun to their household, and Patrick and Brittany say they could not imagine life without her. Everybody. Zoe Susan Jacob. And Zoe is the six-month-old daughter of Roy and Rena Jacob. The name Zoe is from the Greek Zoe, which means spiritual life found in Jesus. Roy and Rena want Zoe to be full of the life of Christ. And their prayer for her is that she might walk in Christ's footsteps all the days of her life. Congratulations. Thank you very much. Jansen Howard Martin. Jansen, or Jance, is the 10-month-old son of Jason and Mandy, and Jason's going to share a little.
Well, this is Jansen, and we chose his name because I actually had a student named Jance, and he didn't flunk, so it was okay. But Mandy was looking over my shoulder and she saw it, and she actually liked the name, and we eventually settled on that. We like to call him Jance. And my great-grandfather was Howard, then my grandfather was James Howard, my dad's Jimmy Howard, and I'm Jason Howard, and this is Jansen Howard. Our prayer for him is, our verse is Psalms 42:1, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. And our prayer is that he really doesn't just become to know God at an early age, but that he really pants for him and yearns for him, and that God will just fill him up.
All right, Sophia Marie Mauder and Isabella Ann Mauder. Sophia is the 3-year-old daughter of Aaron and Debbie. And the verse they have chosen for Sophia is Psalm 56:4, which says, "In God whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid." And Isabella is the newest addition to the Mauder family, and she is 2 months old and very awake. And the verse that Aaron and Debbie are praying for her is Psalm 28, verse 7. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped." That's for you. Cade Benjamin Manis. And Cade is the 11-month-old son of Bo and Christina, and they are going to share more about Cade.
This is Cade Benjamin Manis. We chose Cade because we thought the name was beautiful. Cade means pure. Benjamin means light of God, and we named him Benjamin after Benjamin Barlow. The verse that we have for Cade is found in Psalm 86, and it says this, 86:11. "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with all of my heart, and I will glorify your name forever."
Corbin Isaiah Mobley. Corbin is the 8-month-old son of Nathan and Yvonne, and the little brother of Cade. And in referring to the name Corbin, they say that claiming that something is Corbin means you are making an irrevocable vow that you are devoting something to God. And they are devoting him to God. We have this for you guys. Thank you, guys. You didn't even need that. All right, Isaac Leon Morris. Isaac is the 4-month-old son of Clay and Holly, and they are going to share with us.
This is Isaac, and we chose the name Isaac. He's our 6th child, and we've given them all a biblical and a family name. And Isaac is from the Bible, but when we were looking up names for him, and found that it means laughter. Everybody had laughed when we found out we were pregnant. His twin sisters were 6 months old. And so we just thought that that really fit. And we prayed laughter for him and that he would bring laughter and joy. For the verse we've chosen was Genesis 21:6, which says, Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And then his middle name is Leon, after my father. And we just pray that he brings laughter and joy to everyone that he comes in contact with.
All right, Emerson Elizabeth Payne. And Emerson is the 7-month-old daughter of Gary and Braden. And they say she is their first, and she has brought much happiness to their lives. And she's looking very pretty tonight, isn't she? All right, here you guys go. All right, here we go. Randy and Kathy are coming in. This is for Kenzia Hope Presley. And Kenzia is the 10-month-old daughter of Randy and Kathy, and they're going to share more about Kenzia.
Well, we adopted Kenzia through a ministry in Tulsa, and we chose her name because her birth mother, whom we met and spent considerable time with in Tulsa, had three other children whose names began with a K. And Kenzia is a Haitian name, and one of our daughters is from Haiti. And so it was just fitting that Eliana would have a sister here in America whose name was Kenzia because she was so fond of that young sister of hers. You know, of course, our desire for Kenzia is that she would follow God all the days of her life, and we want to do all we can to encourage that in her life.
Okay. All right. Shoshana Mercy Presley and Shylin Grace and Darius Alexander Presley. Shoshana is 8, and Shylin is 7, and Darius is 6. I think we're going to hear more about them, right?
We are. We have had these children since October 25th, and just the week before, I think it was Thursday morning, I had said, Lord, with just a very sweet release, we will not pursue adoption again, and that felt right. And Sunday night, we got a call from the same ministry that we adopted little Kenzia from, and they were looking for a Christian family through this ministry to take these three children. And God knew better than we knew that they were to be a part of our family. And so we've not regretted that at all. We covet your prayers. And we've given them their middle names. They've kept their first given names.
All right, we have Miss Shoshana and Shylin. That's for you, Darius. And then that's for Kenzia, and then that's all the certificates there. All right, Alani Grace Wilmoth. And Alani is the 9-month-old daughter of Adam and Lisa. And Adam's going to share about Alani.
Well, Alani is, we picked her name, she's part Hawaiian. And Alani is a Hawaiian name that means of or from heaven. And the verse we chose for her is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. And we realize it's not a particularly original verse for baby dedications, but we really see it as her story, and we see that played out already. We were... Lexi, our oldest daughter, was just barely 2, and we were just starting to talk that maybe in several months we'd be interested in starting the adoption process again, when the same agency we adopted Lexi through called us up and said, we've got a baby, are you interested? And we said, sure. I said, oh, by the way, she's due in 4 weeks. and so we got moving, and we were excited. And we also see... God's hand working through her life. Her birth mom actually got counseling through a Planned Parenthood clinic, and somehow through the grace of God, she got directed to this adoption agency, and they found us. And so we really see God working through her life already, and we're excited about what He has planned for her.
Amen. Bye-bye. Luke Curtis Winkle. And Luke is the eight-month-old son of Curtis and Emily. And Curtis is going to tell us a little about Luke.
All right. Luke is Luke Curtis Winkle. He's our second son, and he's been a wonderful blessing addition to our family. He's been teaching his brother to share. We have several prayers for Luke, but the one we keep coming back to is that God would really make his gifts evident early in life so that he could develop those and really use those to build up the body and to glorify God. So.
Hi, this is our son Max. He's almost 15 months, and actually he has a Chinese nickname Da Yu, which means Max, so we call him Max. His formal Chinese name En Hao, as Bill has child, endless blessing. Indeed, he has, and we have received a lot of blessings. We're from China, and our parents, our siblings are all in China. But here in USA, we had a big family, the Trinity Baptist Church. Through this child, God taught us a lot, to be patient, to be humble, and to love others more. And we hope God will teach us more to be good parents. And thank you all to be here with us, and thank God for this special moment to dedicate this child to him, and especially we thank Bill and Pam Kennedy to be here with us. Thank you all.
Let's pray again and just pray for each one of these families, all right? Father, again, we are so thankful for these children. Like Ryan said, we are thankful that you trust us with these precious gifts from you, these children. And we do dedicate them tonight to you, Lord. We give them back to you. You've given them to us. Now we're giving them to you and asking you to help us as families and as a church family to raise them to love you and to honor you. Give us wisdom. Give each parent wisdom as they train their children that you've given them. And we pray that you would just use these children mightily in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.